Good morning, Wylie United Methodist Church family and friends. We are excited that you're joining us this morning. Great news, next week will be our first back in person live worship service. But if you, there were, just check the email and it'll have all the guidelines for that and instructions for that. If you don't feel comfortable coming next week, please know that we will actually do a live stream of our service each Sunday so you can still participate from your home. Glad that you are with us this morning. We pray that the name of Jesus would be high and lifted up. Hear these words from God's Word. Now, let this be your prayer this morning. This is a personal prayer to the Lord. I will exalt you, my God and King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. Is God great? Let's celebrate him this morning. Pray with me. Father, you are great, and we do praise you. I thank you for this fellowship of believers that you have assembled and that we call ourselves Wylie United Methodist Church. But Father, we're really, what we are is we're your children. So come, Holy Spirit, be in this place, inhabit our praises, and bless us that we might bless others. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
And are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb, are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power?
so good to be here today as we've come to celebrate Jesus. And what a glorious day it is. And so today, I'm going to be talking about tools. We use tools for all kinds of different things. And so I've brought some tools with me. I have a basket full of tools, and we're going to talk about them this morning. So tools are important because they help us do a job. So the first tool that I have is, let me see if I can get it out. Oh, man. Okay. I have a hammer. We use a hammer to build things with and hammer nails, and my granddaughter uses it to break pecans, so that's a good thing. And then we have a stethoscope. So when you're sick, you go to the doctor, and they listen. They use this tool to listen to your heart to make sure that it's beating right. And then we have a fireman's hat. And so a fireman will wear this when he puts out a fire because it will protect his head. So they use these tools every day, right, to make their job better. So did you know that you have a job, that we all have jobs every day, and your job is to learn and to grow? So some things that you need every day to learn and grow are you need the ABCs, because we need to know our ABCs so that we can read and write and just do all sorts of things with our letters. And then we need numbers, because we need to learn to count and to do math. Math is very important. So, and then we have books. We need lots of books so we can learn about all kinds of things, animals and counting, and I'm not sure what all I have in here, just more animals. So just learn about all those things. It's important to read those. So, you know, so we need those things to learn at school and to learn to read and write and do all those fun things. But we have another job. And our other job is to grow closer to God. And there are tools that we need to help us grow closer to God. And so one thing that we need every day is God's Word. We need to read God's Word and to learn it so that we can grow and know that God loves us. Okay. Then we have a cross. We need a cross to remind us that Jesus loves us and he died on the cross for us and he forgives us of our sins. So a cross is a wonderful tool. Then I have a heart. Have you ever thought of a heart being a tool? A heart is a tool that helps us to love God and to love others. And then I have a scripture verse. So memorizing scripture verse helps us to know how to live each day and to love God. And so this one that I've written out, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Mark 12:30. So it's important that we use these tools, a Bible, a cross, a heart, memorizing scripture, so that we can grow stronger and grow to know the Lord more. And so we want you to take this, I'd like for you to take a scripture, maybe this one or another one, and write it out and then memorize it and keep it with you, because God's word says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. And we want God's word to be in you so that you can live your life in true obedience to God. And so just use these tools and do your job to honor God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you love us. And Lord, I thank you for these tools. And I thank you that as we grow and learn every day, that we grow closer to you and that we will love you with everything in us, our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, Lord. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, Wiley Church family. Let's recite the Apostles' Creed together. And I want to encourage you to stand if you're comfortable doing that in your homes as we stand in the sanctuary. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you for that, reminding you that that word in the creed, Catholic, means universal. I was trying to discern what to pray about this morning, how to lead this prayer time, and was looking for a scripture verse that might help lead us through this. And at 8:48 a.m., I received a random text from somebody and it's not in my contact. So as I, if I read this verse and this is you, I'm sorry, first of all, for not having you in my contacts. But please identify yourself as well. I want to thank you for the verse. And for some reason, I'm just believe I'm supposed to read this morning and pray into it. I don't know if it's something that will speak deeply to someone, or maybe it'll bless several someone. So I'm going to read the verse. It's Psalm 73:28. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I've made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. And apparently this verse was important to somebody. But this person in the psalmist said it's good to be near God. And it actually is good to be near God, not just during times of uncertainty, but 24/7. It's always good to be near the Lord. And the psalmist said, I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. Just a place to retreat to, a place to of safety, a place for comfort. And because of that, the psalmist said, I will tell of all your deeds. You know, I was thinking back this week about reminiscing about some ways I've encountered the Lord in the past, and it really encouraged me. Not that I was incredibly discouraged, but just reflecting back on what God has done, the way that I've encountered Him, the way He's blessed me, really lifted my spirit. So I want to pray into that psalm this morning, and I encourage you to join me as I pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word, Lord, and it is alive. It's active. And Carlene shared some scripture this morning that we need to tuck away in our hearts because, God, I believe it truly changes things. And, Lord, I just thank you that you're near. And Father, we just, in you, scripture says that we live and move and have our being. It's almost like we rub up against you on a daily basis. But it's your desire that we draw near to you, because if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. And Lord, you are our refuge, God. You are our strong tower. And Lord, I'm almost certain there's people this morning that need to know that. There's people this morning that may just feel like they're out there exposed. And Lord, they need to know that there's a place they can retreat to, God, where you are, and where there's safety, and where there's peace, and where they can be comforted. So God, just be our refuge this morning. You are our hope, Lord, and we love you for who you are. And God, forgive us of not speaking about your goodness. Forgive us about not telling people of all of your deeds, not just the things that you've done in Scripture, but also, and maybe more importantly, the things that you've done in our own hearts. Lord, we are radically changed because of you. And I thank you, God, for saving me. I thank you, God, for setting me free from myself. Thank you, God, for molding me and shaping me into the image of Jesus Christ our Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, this morning I'm grateful. I'm grateful that you're near. I'm grateful that you're our refuge. And I'm grateful that you have accomplished a number of things in the world and in our lives. Lord, just bless us this day. Lord, as we begin to meet back together, I just pray for confidence. I pray for boldness. I pray for wisdom. And I pray for safety. And as churches all over this nation and all over the globe begin to come back together, Lord, I just pray for an incredible outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Launch us into something fresh, into something new that the world has never seen in our day. Oh, Father, we love you so. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
And all of you is more than enough for all of me.
Holy Spirit, you are.
Good morning again, church. I am pumped and ready to have some people in the sanctuary next week. So if you feel safe to come, we look forward to you being here. If you don't, that's okay. That's okay to stay home until you are ready to come back. But I'm excited about that. Said something this morning to the group that was here. It's like it'd be nice to have people laugh at some of my jokes. And I said, I've been getting nothing from y'all. And that was their response to me. Well, we've been getting nothing from you. So anyway, that was funny. That was funny. That's the only thing they've ever laughed at. All right, turn with me to Romans. We're going to be in Romans. Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, be right here with us, be in every home that's watching. We pray that you would speak in power and authority, that your name would be high and lifted up, and that you would transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I conclude the sermon series today, the God of. Now, the first 3 weeks we talked about the God of peace, and then the God of refuge. He's our shelter. And then last week He is the God of comfort, and today He is the God of hope. We talked about hope a few months ago, but I really feel like that this particular time in our lives, in our culture, it was very important for us to revisit that. A few years ago, me and several pastors, we had a pastor's conference in New York City. I'd never been to New York City. We went to New York for this conference. And one evening after the conference was over, we were walking around. We saw Times Square and some different things. And we made our way to Chinatown there in New York City, a famous area of town. And one of the things that they do in Chinatown is they have all sorts of gift shops. And they sell what I call knockoffs of all sorts of things. My pastor friends that was with me, he bought like 6 purses. I mean, he's like, I'm like, dude, how many purses do you need to carry? Oh, my wife loves these purses. And one of the things that they sell is a knockoff Rolex. I think I've got a picture of one of them. Looks like a Rolex, right? Guess what? In Chinatown, that costs $10. No lie, $10. The only problem, they look just like a Rolex, an authentic Rolex, which costs several thousand dollars depending on the model that you get. And that one's $10. Now, the only problem is it doesn't work. It ticks for a while. It keeps lousy time, and it goes out very quickly from what I hear. I did not buy a fake Rolex. I really, this Timex does me just fine. But the thing about these knockoffs that struck me was they would have no value whatsoever if it weren't for this yearning for the original, this yearning for the original. And we find that in our culture all the time. We place our hope in all these things that we think will be like the original, like the authentic hope that we have as Christians. We place our hope in, our health, in our friendships, in our bank account, in our 401k, in our job, in our title. I remember this is really big with men. What's the first thing when you meet a man that you ask him? What do you do? I mean, we place so much value in what we do. All of these different things we actually are placing hope in when really they are just fake, unauthentic ways of hope. So we're gonna talk a little bit more about hope today. God's hope, the Christian hope, this God of hope. First of all, God's hope is certain. Now, I talked to someone several years ago, and I said, I don't like that word hope, because hope means that, you know, it's this kind of flim-flammy kind of thing. That's a, for you young people, that's an actual phrase, flim-flam. Y'all, see, no laughter whatsoever. Next week, this place would be busting up with laughter. I'm just saying. So we place our hope in all sorts of things, but God's hope is certain. Now listen to this passage we just read today. May the God of hope, that's who he is. Last week we talked about that he was the God of comfort. That's who he is. This God of hope, may the God of hope fill you. So this God of hope, that's the very foundation of who he is, may that fill you. God's hope is certain. Now, several years ago, Cheryl and I went on vacation. We had a marriage retreat we went to in New Mexico several years ago. And we were on our way back. We were going to stop overnight in Roswell, New Mexico. You know, we see if we saw any UFOs or anything. And Cheryl, when we travel, Cheryl likes to take the weekend before we go finding a hotel room. Not a few hours, but the weekend before. I mean, she you know, compares. Anybody else? Okay. Deadness in the, it's okay. It's all right. Next week. So she takes hours and hours and hours to save $10 on a hotel room. That drives me crazy. I'm more, hey, man, let's just go and let's see where the Lord takes us, you know? So I convinced her on this trip home, let's just play it by ear. Don't spend all weekend trying to come up with a hotel room. So we're going to play it by ear. So we end up in Roswell, and it's nighttime. We hadn't had supper. We've been driving for a while, and we're going to spend the night. And guess what was going on in Roswell that neither one of us knew? Go ahead and put it up there. Yes, that's right. A VW Beetle convention was going on in Roswell, New Mexico. I mean, you never seen so many VW bugs in your whole life. They were like thousands of them everywhere. And so I remember us driving down the road, and I would whip into the lane of a hotel, and Cheryl would run in. Sorry, we have no vacancies. She'd come, you know, and her face, her smile started turning down. It just ever so gently. Then we'd go to the next hotel, and I'd pull up to the door, and she'd run in. She'd come out. They're full, too. And we'd go to the next one, and we just on and on and on down Main Street, and every hotel room in that town was taken up by VW Beetle convention people. I didn't even know there was such a thing. Cheryl wasn't real happy with me, but it's, so she likes certain. She likes certain. I like spontaneous. But it didn't work out too well for the spontaneous that weekend. God's hope is certain. It's not this maybe it'll happen, but when God says it, it happens. When God says something about you or about what's going to happen in life, when we make wrong decisions, I see it all the time. God gives us his law not because he's this great cosmic party pooper and doesn't want anybody to have a good time. He gives us his law because he knows that protects us. It keeps us well. It keeps us safe. It keeps us happy and blessed. And it's not like, hey, don't do this because I don't like you having fun. No, don't do these things because I know that it doesn't bring abundant life. God's hope is certain. This is how Hebrews 11:1, this is how it's put in God's word. Now, faith is being sure of what? It's being sure of what we hope for. It's this assurance of hope and certain of what we do not see. So God's hope is certain. When he gives us hope, we can bank it. We can take it to the bank. Secondly, God's hope results in joy and peace. And I was just talking about that, that God gives us boundaries in our lives because he wants us to have a blessed life. He wants us to have joy and peace. So this word that we're reading today out of Romans, may the God of hope fill you, what? Fill you with what? With all joy and peace as you trust in him. So see, there's during this coronavirus season, I mean, man, there's people, if you watch the news, read the paper, whatever you do to receive news, it's just gloom and doom and bad news and all that. It's like, no, God wants to fill us with hope so that we would have joy and peace, so that in the midst of the storm, we would have those things. I saw a T-shirt in Mardell's a few weeks ago, and the T-shirt, I think I'm saying this right, it said, sailors are not made in calm seas. Hello. Is this on? Anybody listening? Sailors are not made in calm seas. It's like they learn to be sailors. They learn to navigate the seas by when they're in the storm. And the same can be said for us as we weather these storms. The fruit, Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. There it is. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, some people will call that the fruits of the Spirit, meaning that you may have these three fruits, but you don't have the other fruits. But no, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's singular. This, in other words, when we have the Spirit dwelling inside of us, His fruit, the fruit that comes from it just oozes. It should ooze out of us. The closer, and Billy talked about it in his prayer time, the closer we press into God, the more that His fruit will come out of us. So you know what? I was just kind of curious. I just kind of looked this up. The opposite of hope is despair and pessimism. Despair and pessimism. So if we find ourselves, if we're kind of one of the glass is half empty kind of people, that's not the hope of God. That's not God's hope. All right. And thirdly, God's hope is powered by the Holy Spirit. It's powered by the Holy Spirit. And I just began talking about that. Listen to this Romans 15 that we read today. May the God of hope fill you so that, and remember I said last week, so that is very similar to therefore. When you, it's an if-then, when the God of hope fills you so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, when we have this hope, it's imparted to us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples as before he ascended into heaven, after he was resurrected, he said these words, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the ends of the earth." So we receive the power of the Holy Spirit. It comes upon us, and it allows us to be witnesses. So now let's put this in current context with this coronavirus. If you see everybody else as woe is me and the sky is falling, and yet they see you by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have hope. That allows you to now be witnesses to the goodness of Christ, to the power of the Holy Spirit. So the hope is a demonstration to the world, godly hope is a demonstration to the world that we trust Him. We don't trust the projections and the news media and all of that. We don't, with all of this stuff going on. No, we trust God because He is the God of hope. He loves us. He says He never leaves us or forsakes us. He will be with us. And so God's hope is powered by the Holy Spirit. And so the last thing I want to say is this, is the question may come up, well, how, Pastor, do I do that, Pastor? How do I have that power of the Holy Spirit? And listen to this verse out of Luke. And these are Christ's word. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? You want to know how to receive the Holy Spirit? You want to know how to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and have the hope that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit? Ask Him. Just ask Him. That's what Jesus tells us. Church, I don't know how, I say this all the time, when there's tragedy, when there's trials, when there's struggles in people's life, I say this all the time, I don't know how people get through these things, not just coronavirus, but also, I told you last week about my friend's wife that has been diagnosed with terminal liver cancer, And I don't know how anybody gets through those kinds of things, through the coronavirus, through the death of a loved one, any of those things, without Jesus. I just don't know how they do it. God is the God of hope, and He loves you. I want to invite you, if you do not know this God of hope, man, He knows you. And He wants you to know Him. He wants relationship with you. So I invite you now, there should be a button on your screen that allows you to click that button, and you'll be guided through a form to fill out so that we, as a staff, a ministry staff, where we can communicate with you and we can walk you through making Jesus your Lord and Savior. I want to invite the praise team to come up as we close. Hear this prayer. Father, thank you so much for the hope that is authentic. It's not this cheap replica of hope that the world offers. Our hope is not a $10 Rolex. Your hope that we have in you is the real deal. And you, through your hope, provide us with joy and peace and abundant life. So now, Holy Spirit, move right through the internet, right through the Wi-Fis, right through the video service in every home, in every heart. We love you, and we thank you that you loved us first and you loved us best. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sin.
faithfulness financially, there's an online giving tab there. You can do that, or through our website or our app. You can also mail a check to the church. We are doing great with our finances, and we appreciate your faithfulness, and that is why. Continue to tell you that if you need anything as we begin to restart back up, please email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. And reminder, next week, if you feel so led to come and be back with us, next week we will have our first in-person live service in some 8 or 9 weeks. We will also have a live stream pushed out to all those who can't be here. We love you. God is the God of all comfort. May that God of hope fill you. May he fill you with his joy and peace. God bless you. We're dismissed.